This is News and Notes. I'm Tony Cox. This week on our Africa Update, Somalia's new president enters the country for the first time since his exile, but will he be able to get insurgents and pirates under control? And Rwanda hands over a Congolese war criminal. For more now, we've got Amira Wood. She is co-director of Foreign Policy in Focus at the Institute for Policy Studies. Hi, Amira.
Hey, Tony. How are you?
It's fine. Thank you very much. We've got a lot to talk about, so let's jump right to it. Somalia recently welcomed their new president, Sheikh Sharif Sheikh Ahmed. He has just returned to Somalia for the first time since his exile, but his reception, as I understand it, wasn't exactly welcoming all the way around. There were mortar shells at the presidential palace, weren't there?
Well, so this is the thing, Tony. There's a sense among Somalis that yet again you have had a leader picked outside the country and coming into Mogadishu to be welcomed, and people are still not happy, not being able to get their political will actually reflect it in the leadership that's selected for the government. So there is a sense that, yes, it is good that the Ethiopian forces are leaving and the occupation of Somalia is ending, as many have seen it. But there is also a sense that the governance is still not right, that the will of the people is still not being reflected in this new governing body. So I think there is a frustration that's reflected in those mortar attacks, right? So luckily no one was injured, but it is a sense that things are still not quite right, that you have had over 20 years without a government and that this government is still not seen as legitimate enough in the eyes of many Somalis.
You mentioned the Ethiopian troops, and yet you talked about them leaving, but they're still there as well, aren't they? I guess they're leaving and staying at the same time, if that's possible to do. What does that depict for the country?
Well, it's still, you know, it's occupation that's ending in a very slow and drawn out way. But it's a sense that the Ethiopians and quite frankly, the Americans who are backing the Ethiopians are still very much calling the shots. And Somalis want to be able to control their own destiny. That's the core of the issue here, that there's a sense that Somalis have not been able to control their own destiny for way too long. And what many throughout the country are calling for is a sense of real return to political governance that reflects the will of the people, that is selected by the people, not by outsiders, but by the Somalis themselves, and that is able to then put both the economy that is really devastated now with this global economic crisis and a food crisis on top of that, and put a political system in place that works for the Somali people.
One more thing about Somalia before we move on. The pirates there who hijacked that Ukrainian ship loaded with weapons have finally left the vessel. 5 months, a standoff there. $3 million was paid in ransom. The new Somali president, what's he going to be able to do about that, if anything?
Well, I think there is some sense that those pirates, you know, were answerable to no one, but that they could be answerable to a government of the Somali people that selected and given a sense of, you know, real legitimacy by the Somali people. I think the key issue here is what will the other countries do? Let's remember now, this ship was able to continue on its voyage. It's a ship that contains a cache of arms, of weapons going to potentially Sudan by way of Kenya. And what happened? It was the American Navy, the U.S. Navy, that is now escorting this ship on its way with arms to fuel further crises in the Horn of Africa. So we have to look beyond the role of the pirates and really look at the role of the international community in terms of why is this cache of arms being allowed to not only to leave Somalia, but to reach its final destination there in the Horn of Africa, and to what extent will that fuel even further deaths there in the Horn of Africa, whether it's in South Sudan or elsewhere in Sudan? These are the questions that are broader questions that have been raised by this freeing, quote unquote, of this ship containing such a large cache of weapons headed for the Horn of Africa.
Let's move on to the Democratic Republic of Congo, where Rwandan troops take up positions across the eastern part of the country. This time, though, they've done it by invitation. I want to talk also about Laurent Nkunda, but first, let's talk about these troops. They were asked by the Congolese government to flush out Hutu militias, right?
Well, so the core here is in the Absolutely, all over the Eastern Congo. The issue is around control of resources that are vital to the global economy. Without the coltan that comes from the Eastern Congo, we cannot have cell phones, we cannot have computers. And so these battles have gone on, really, over control of these vital mining areas where these resources lie. And I think what is critical is that, you know, the UN in its report that was released in December 08, essentially nailed it by saying that the borders across the border, Rwanda, played a critical role in fueling the crisis in the Eastern Congo. And now you have had pressure then put on Rwanda to actually come up with and to play a role in helping to bring about the peace. So this is an incredible movement forward that, you know, Nkunda is actually put forward by the Rwandan government. I think it is a step in the right direction, a step that many of the Congolese have been calling for quite some time.
So you think he will actually face war crime charges?
I think there is a lot on the plate of the International Criminal Court right now. When you look at especially Bashir from Sudan, who has also been indicted, and when you look at Nkunda as well, I think there is a lot on the plate of the International Criminal Court. But this clearly should be one case that they pursue, and they pursue in a speedy and efficient manner.
Let's end our Africa update this week with this really briefly. On to North Africa, Madagascar. The defense minister resigned on Monday in protest of a police shooting of opposition leaders. What's going on there, really briefly?
Well, essentially, it is people in Madagascar that are fed up with a government that isn't serving their needs. And so you had a peaceful protest. Thousands of Madagascarans that were actually organizing peacefully to demonstrate. First, they were demonstrating on issues of corruption and more importantly, on issues of governance and lack of responsible governance and a sense that the government had really become dictatorial and entrenched their power in ways that didn't serve the interests of the people. So these peaceful protests then ended up with the army essentially opening fire and you know, killing innocent civilians. There were at least 29 to 30 people who were killed, and some say there were thousands who were injured, but at least 200 were reported wounded officially in the wounded category. Oh. And I think overall you had a sense of things gone awry.
I have to cut you off there, Mira, only because our time ran out. I wanted to also correct that we put Madagascar in the north when it should have been in the south. Amira Woods, thank you very much.
Thank you, Tony.